Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mondaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Kachelim. We're now in Masachet Baba Kama Daf Hey Amud Aleph, near the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to complete at this point our discussion of the Halacha of Reb Chiya. Hahu Raya Dahavu Masru LeKol Yom Chayuta B'Sahadei. There was a shepherd who used to be given his sheep every day with Edim, testifying that he got the sheep. Yom Achar Masru LeBelo Sadi. One day they didn't have Edim. They handed him the sheep without the Edim. L'sof Amar Lehu Lo Hayu Dvar Miolam. And then he said, no, you never gave me the sheep. We know he's lying. Atu Sadi Asidu Beidu Achal Tarti Minayu. So Edim came and said, they testified that on that day they saw him eating up two of the sheep. He had been given far more than two. Amar Bizeira Im Ithu Rav Chiya Chamaita. If we accept the first ruling of Rav Chiya. The first ruling of Rav Chiya, remember, was, if A says to B, you owe me $100,000, B says, I owe you nothing, and then witnesses come and say, let's say, that he does owe $40,000, he has to pay the $40,000 and take a shvu on the other $60,000. So Rabbi Zeira says, if we accept first that ruling of Rabbi Chiya, Mishtava Ashara, then this shepherd now has to testify, has to take an oath, about all of the sheep between the two that he certainly has to pay for because of the Edut, and the amount that's being claimed. Now, Amar Le Abaye, Im Ita Mishtaba? Wait a second. If we accept Rav Chiya's ruling, then how's this guy going to take a shvua? After all, Hagazlan who? We have testimony that he's a Gazlan. He ate up two of the sheep that he was entrusted with that he denied he ever got. So how could he take a shvua? We won't trust him in the shvua either. So Amar Le Shekenegdo Kamina. So Rabbi Zeira said to Abaye, what I meant was that a shvua is in place. Since this guy can't take the shvua, the owners take a shvua that he owes them 100 sheep or however many, take the shvua and they collect. Okay, Hashtanami, so Abaye says back to late Rabbi Chiya, even if we didn't accept Rabbi Chiya, Nechayve Midu Rav Nachman, the guy should still have to take an oath, meaning Shekenegdo would take an oath and collect based on the ruling of Nachman. What's that? Maneli biyadcha in lechaviyadi patur. Right, that's the standard kofar bakol. I say you owe me $100. You say I owe you nothing. You're patur. V'amar of Nachman. What was of Nachman's add-on? Mashbin oto shvuat haseit. He says there's a thing called shvuat haseit, literally meaning a provoking shvua, a shvua that you institute to try to get him to move away from his lie. So when a fellow denies the debt entirely, Rav Nachman says, Midrabanan, we have a shvuat haseit. So then Abaye turns around and says, Rabbi Zeira, in the case of this shepherd, even if we didn't accept Rabbi Chiya's halacha, he would still have to take a shvuah because of Rav Nachman, because there's a claim against him and he denies it all. The answer is, Rav Nachman takantahi. Rav Nachman's oath itself was a takana. Takanta la takanta lo avdinan. There's no reason for us to make a takana on a takana. In other words, take Rav Nachman's halacha, which is a straight-up debt. A person says, you owe me $100,000, says, I don't owe you anything. We'll see why. He says, nonetheless, we suspect that there's something to the claim, and therefore you have to take a shvua. To apply that to this case of a ro'eh, where they say we handed you the sheep, he said, you handed me nothing, and we've got Edim testifying that he had part of it, that would be a takana la takana. Now, but typically, the havi le ro'eh. So now we go back to Abaye and say, Abaye, why are you challenging Rabbi Zeira by saying this particular guy is a Gazlan because we have testimony against him? He's a Roa, and that's it. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Stam Roa Pasul. The default on a Roa is that he's Pasul because he's generally a thief. So lo kasha, hadidei hadalma. When he's shepherding his own sheep, he's a thief. He doesn't mind where he grazes. He doesn't mind taking other guys' stuff. So therefore, he's a Gazlan. But Dalma, if he's a shepherd who hires out for other people, there he's not necessarily a Gazlan. Why? And the reason we'll get to in a second. How could we ever give our animals to a Roa if we suspect that a Roa is stealing when he's got our animals in his care? You're not allowed to put a blind stumbling block before a blind man, meaning you're not allowed to enable another person to do an Avera. And if he's doing Averot using our sheep, then we can't give him our sheep. El chazaka in adam chotei v'lolo. The chazaka is that a person doesn't sin if it's not for his own benefit. So when he's got his own sheep and he's going to save himself money on feeding them by going to other people's fields, he'll gain. When he's got somebody else's sheep and the other person has his own fields to graze in, hey, he's got no motivation to steal. Okay, and that's why the ro'eh, in a normal case, when he's working with other people's sheep, is trusted. And but in this particular case, because we already know he's a Gazlan, he can't be trusted, and therefore the other guys take the Shvuah. Okay, now let's take a look back at our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we said that when two guys come with a claim, Kula Shali, Kula Shali, each one takes an oath that he has no less than half. Let's see what that means. Zay Shavash and Lepachim and Shuchetz, etc. Al Di'i Le Mishtava or Al Di'i Le Mishtava? What's he taking the oath about? Is he taking the oath and saying that this half is mine? Or is he taking the oath about saying that that half isn't mine? Right? In other words, what does he mean by taking an oath of a half? So Ravuna de Amar Shvua Shiesh Liba Vein Liba Pachot Michetzeh. This is really what the Shvua means. He says, I'm taking an oath that I have a claim on it, and my claim is no less than half. V'neima Shvua Shekula Shali. Why doesn't he take a Shvua to what he claimed? He claimed it's all his. Why doesn't he take a Shvua that it's all his? The answer is, Umi Avinu Laikula. We're not going to give him the whole thing. In other words, since he's not going to end at the end of the process, if everybody does what they're supposed to here, he's not going to get the whole thing. He's only going to get half. Therefore, we have him take a Shvua that doesn't in the end, a process, have him take an oath to one thing, but we don't give him that. So he takes an oath to half. So why doesn't he take an oath and say, I swear half is mine? The answer is, Marale the Dibori. Then he's hurting his own claim. Because if he takes an oath, half is mine, and then the other guy backs off, because the other guy really is the liar, he's stuck. It's really all his thing. And now he can't take any more than half of it. So Hashtanam Marale the Dibori. Wait a second. The oath that he does administer and that he does take also hurts his claim because his claim is all and his oath is half. The answer is, this is what the oath really is. Damar kula shali. Right? He says, all of it's mine. Uladiv rechem, but according to you, the Beit Din, who are going to enforce this, shvua sheish liba, I'm taking an oath that I have a claim, vein liba pachot mechetzia, and I have no less than half. Meaning, I claim I have the whole thing and I'm not diminishing that bechiyuzeh. But I'm saying, according to your shita, I think it's got a shvua. I'm going to word it very carefully. I have a claim, and my claim is no less than half. Okay. Take a look at it. Each guy is holding their half. Shvua zulama. So what do I need a shvua for? Why do I just say split? And each guy is holding a half. I just say split. So this is what we already saw. We got a heads up on this on Daf Gimel. Amar b'yochanan shvua zuta kanot chachamimi. That's a shvua zderabanan. We shouldn't have somebody walking down the street with a fancy coat. Another guy comes up and he is holding it over his shoulder. It's a hot day. And another guy comes up and grabs it, runs into Beit Din, and then gets half. So we have a shvua there to kind of weed out the liars if possible. Okay. And this is going to occupy our attention for the rest of the podcast. So why don't we argue that since this fellow is Chashir al Mamon, these two guys came in, Itzen Kula Shili. We know that somebody here is not telling truth, or at least we suspect so. And therefore, it seems that this guy is Chashir al Mamon, that we have to and we're suspecting him, that his financial claim is bogus, or is at least inflated. So why don't we say, since he's Chashir al Mamon, he's Chashir al Shvuah, meaning, since we suspect that this is a guy who is not very careful about the law and is not that honest, and he's going to lie about money, so maybe he'll lie about a shvuah too, and we can't administer a shvuah to him. The answer is, lo amrin, mi go to chashira mamona, chashira shvuata. The answer is that we do not make that leap. We don't say that because somebody is suspected of financial hanky-panky that they're also chashala shvuah. We'll see at the very end of the sugya why. But what it means is that even though we suspect that somebody may be playing with their financial claims, they still can be trusted to take a shvua and not to lie. Now, we're going to prove the point and then we'll explain it. Dilote mahachi. If you don't accept that principle, then hay da amrachmana modu miktzat tatanai shava. How could the Torah say modu miktzat takes a shvua? After all, name amigo de chashir mamona chashir shvuata. After all. First guy comes up to him and says, "Show me $100,000." The fellow says back, "I owe you $40,000." So why is it that we're making him take a shvuah for the other 60? Because we're suspecting that he's lying, which means he's chashir al mamon. So maybe he'll lie under oath. The answer is that we don't make that leap. The answer is, no, we may still say that principle. Why don't we apply it there? This we've already seen, that when somebody has a loan that's being claimed, and they and the lender comes up and asks for payment, and the borrower admits to part. It could be the borrower's not really lying and trying to get out of it. He's not really choshed al mamon. Really, he owes the whole thing. But he doesn't have all the money, so he admits to part, to give a partial payment, and he intends to get the rest. So he's not really choshed al mamon. He's not somebody who's really trying to deceive and steal. He's just trying to stall, if you will. Kidurabba teda, amaravidi baravin, amarav chista. This we saw at the end of Bavakama. If somebody denies a milva, even if it's not true, they deny their debt and it really is not true, they're still kosher leidut because we know they weren't really trying to defraud, they were just trying to stall. But if they deny a pikadon, we're going to revisit this in a few minutes, if they deny a pikadon, then they are kosher leidut. Because there, either they have it or they don't have it. And if they don't have it, and it turns out that they really did accept responsibility, and that the thing really happened with Shia, then they're just lying and trying to get out of paying. As I said, we're going to revisit that. Now, Elahana Tani Rambam Bar Chama. So if that's the case, look at Rambam Bar Chama's halacha that we saw earlier. Arba Shomim Sechim Kfir Miktzad V'Odab Miktzad. Remember, with Pikadon, Rambam Bar Chama said the only way that you are chayev shvuat hashomrim is if you're mode b'miktzat and kofar b'miktzat. Means you say, yes, I do have some liability for this, but not as much as you say. And he goes through the four shomrim, shomachinam, ashol, nos, asochav, asocher. So nim, migor, chashir, mamor, chashir, shvuat. I know I got the same problem. According to Rambam Bar Chama, the guy has to say, yes, one of your cows did die on my watch, but the other one was pepshi, bamones, or the other one you never gave me, or whatever the denial is. Which means that this guy is choshen al mamon. After all, why are we making him take a shvua? Because we're suspecting he's lying about the other one. So why do we have him take the shvua? The answer is because, again, somebody's choshen al mamon, they're not necessarily choshen al shvua. So the answer that we're going to give again to try to elude this attack and say this does not necessarily prove that we do not say this guy is also just trying to stall the shomer. So for instance, the fellow had it and it was nignav. Let's say he's a socher, he's chayv b'gneva. So it was nignav from him. So he comes and denies it. He had two cows. One he really didn't feed properly. One was stolen. So he says, the one I didn't feed, good. So that I admit that I have to pay. But the other one you never gave me. So the answer is there again, he's just trying to stall because in the meantime he's trying to find the ganaver. He's going to go try to find the animal that's now down by the lake somewhere. But Ihachi Yaakov Pikadon, my apostle Eidut. But then, as I said, we're going to go back and revisit Rav Chista's halacha. Why is it that if you're kofar b'milvin, your apostle, your kosher Eidut, because you say, you're just trying to evade, you're just trying to stall. But why did Rav Chista say that if Kof Pikadon is apostle Eidut, according to what you said, we should also name him Meshtimutik and Mishtamit, Sarah de Machashto Mishkachnala? Why don't we say that in the case of a Pikadon also, the guy who says, I don't have it, I never got it, or it was a bonus, or whatever, is really just trying to stall until he can get it back, which means he should also be kosher leidut. The answer is, you're right. Kamrina kof pikadon pasul leidut. When did Rav Chista say his halacha? In what case does he say that a kof pikadon pasul leidut? Kigon da atu sadu asidu be da ishata ite le pikadon veite de hu yada. For instance, Adim come and say, the same time that he said he didn't have the pikadon, it was in his house, it was right there with him, and he knew about it. It wasn't like hidden behind the wall. Inami dami nakile biyadei, or witnesses come and say, he was holding out in his hands 5 minutes after he denied ever having it. So, in a case like that, he clearly is trying to keep it for himself. In a case like that, he isn't just trying to stall until he can get it back. And in a case like that, then certainly he is pasaleidut. Now, Elahadam Ravuna Mashbin Oto Shvua She'ina Birshuto. In a case where a shomer says, you know what, I'm guilty, I'll pay you. He has taken an oath that the Aved is not in his property. Now, here clearly, the guy's Choshed Al Mamun, and nonetheless we're letting him take an oath. Again, this is good proof that Choshed Al Mamun Eino Choshed Al Shvua. So again, Atam Nami Mode V'Amar. More V'Amar. The answer is, this is also a unique case. Because in that case, the guy rationalizes, says, Dami Kayahivnalay, look, I'm paying him. So, You know, so what does that mean? That means that I don't think of myself really as a Rasha. In other words, I'm very from, and I certainly wouldn't lie under oath. And here, I want to keep it, so I'll say that it's missing, and I'm going to pay him anyway, so at least he's getting his fair money. So, in other words, the issue of Choshel HaShvua is very much a function of how a person views himself. Does he see himself as somebody who's outside of the law, and he's an out-and-out villain, and therefore he's going to take an oath and lie about it? Or does he see himself as somebody who's really a good guy and doing the right thing, but he's just stuck, or he's rationalizing whatever, which means, of course, he wouldn't lie under oath. So there could be that really Choshed Al HaMamon is Choshed Al HaShvua, but not in a situation where a person doesn't see himself as Choshed Al HaMamon. But wait a second, the guy really is a Rasha. The guy violated Lo Tachmod. Here he was entrusted with something. He liked it. So he lied about it and said it got destroyed, paid for it, and now gets to keep it. That's Lo Tachmod. So why would we believe this guy under oath? The answer is, Lo Tachmod le'in shibelo domi mashmilohu. People don't think of it that way. It's a very interesting take. Reality is that you violate Lo Tachmod when you, let's say, as a shomer, take this thing, and then and you keep it, and you tell the guy it's lost, and you pay him for it, even though you paid him for it. But people don't think that. People think that Lo Tachmod is only a violation when you take it and you don't pay. Out gzela. And so therefore, since this guy isn't doing that, he doesn't think of himself as a Rasha. And again, he's not Choshed Al HaShvua. But we're still trying to prove that Choshed Al HaMamon Enu Choshed Al HaShvua, and every one of the cases that we brought that seemed to indicate that, we smashed out as saying it has its own unique explanation, own local explanation. Ve'elohadam Rav Nachman. Mashpin oto shvuat haseit. Remember, we just had shvuat haseit. When a guy says, you owe me $100,000, the guy says, I owe you nothing. So, neima migoro choshed al mamon choshed al shvuat. The guy, clearly, is choshed al mamon because somebody else is making a big claim against him. That doesn't mean he's a liar or a thief, but it means there's some suspicion here. Why do we let him take this oath? The answer, so, and v'tu, number two, meaning a second proof, the case that we had, if you recall back from the first podcast, that's in Masachet Shavuot Perek Zayin, where Rabbi Yossi, where Benanas weighed in on it, and that was the issue of, it was brought up again in the Sugya of Rabbi Yossi, when the Balabayit hires somebody and then tells him, go to the storekeeper and he'll pay you, I'll take care of it. And then the storekeeper gives him stuff. The hireling says he never got the stuff. The storekeeper says, I gave it to him and you never paid me. Each one of them takes an oath and collects from the Balabayit. Well, somebody here is lying, certainly. And it's certainly Choshed Al HaShvua. And there's a third proof. Anytime that a shomer has to take a shvua to indicate that the thing was lost or in some way he's putter, he doesn't just take one oath, he takes three. Shvua shelo pashati ba, it wasn't neglectful, shelo shalachti ba, yeah, I didn't take it or do something to it. Shvua shein b'shuti, it's a shvua that it's not my property. Well, name amigur chashra b'mona chashra shvuata. Ella, what's the answer from all of this? Lo amrin amigur chashra b'mona chashra shvuata. In spite of the fact that on Hey Amud Bet, we had a series of attempted proofs, each of which got shot down because it had its own local explanation. Here we have three examples of cases where a person is clearly choshed al mamon, nonetheless they take a shvua to get out of paying that mamon, and you see that choshed al mamon is not choshed al shvua. Okay. Abaye Amar. Now Abaye's take here is not a response to this. Abaye's take is now a response to Rabbi Yochanan. If you call Rabbi Yochanan explained that the shvua in our Mishnah is a shvua derabanan that was that's administered to make sure that somebody doesn't just walk up to somebody else who's carrying his coat and says, "Oh, that's my coat," and grabs it and then gets a, shall we say, for without any downside, gets half a coat. Abaye has a different take. He says, "Chashinan shema milvi yeshara yeshlo alav." Perhaps the guy's carrying a coat, the other guy comes and grabs it. Maybe that other guy has a debt that he's trying to collect, an old debt that he's trying to collect. He can't collect it for some reason. So he reasons, I'm going to come and grab this coat, and then I'll come to Beit Din, I'll get half of it, and I'll get my money back. So Iach and Ishko below Shvua. If that's the case, then let them split below Shvua. Elach Hashirin Shema Sofik Milvi Yeshan Ishlolav. Here's the issue, that this guy thinks, you know what? I think that guy might owe me some money, so I'll grab the coat, I'll come into Beit Din, and then I'll get part of it out of him. So that's why we put the Shvua in, to make sure that the guy has taken an oath that he really does own this thing. But wait a second, if this guy's willing to grab money misafek, why isn't he willing to take a shvua misafek? And even though in reality he's going to be saying a lie, nonetheless, he's covering himself, just like grabbing the article. Why won't he say, yes, indeed, this thing is fully mine? Because inside he's rationalizing by saying, I think the guy owes me something. The answer is, and this is what I said at the beginning, this is the difference between shvua and mamon. Why, even though you're choshed al mamon, you might not be choshed al shvua, people will be more careful about a shvua. Amrav sheshet b'rei rav idi parshi inshim misafik shvua velo parshi misafik mamona. People will walk away from taking a shvua when they really can't make it for sure. They won't do that with mamon. Why? My taima, and it's a beautiful explanation. Mamon ite b'chazara shvua leite b'chazara. I figure like this. You may or may not owe me the money. Right now I have a chance to grab it. I'm going to grab it. And then we'll clarify it. And if indeed I don't owe you don't owe them the money, then, you know what, I'll give it back to you. I can do that. If I take a shvua, I can never take it back. I've said a shvua, and I might have lied, and then I lied under oath. And so because of that, people are much more afraid of shvua. There are other considerations of why people are more afraid of shvua, of taking a shvua improperly, and that's why we do not say choshed al-mamon, choshed al-shvua, and we allow the fellows in our Mishnah, and in all of these other cases, even though there's suspicion about their financial dealings, we allow them to take an oath to clear their name, at least as far as this debt is concerned. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick up the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.